Every Mother's Day, Terry gives me the opportunity to come up here and tell all the stories I want to tell on him. And this is my opportunity. No, I'm here to give the message. Lord has been stirring it and stirring it and stirring it since I was in Lebanon. He started pouring into me the message for this morning. So I have a message this morning from the Lord. But yes, before we start, I want to say, this year, for the first time, I got a card from my husband that he made. I get a card every year, but I got a card that he made this morning. So I want to say thank you. Yes. And then I asked Benjamin to post a picture. I'm not sure if he has it, but, if you ever think that our house is perfect, our family is perfect, and you see our family pictures at Christmas time or different times, and that all the kids, they do exactly what they're supposed to do. And you should be there sometimes when all the grandchildren are there and their parents are there, but their parents don't really act like they're there sometimes, and they'll be talking on the side and doing their own thing while Terry and I have the six of them just running around or doing whatever. Well, one is still being held, and every now and then we hold her. Hava, you saw her this morning, and she's not crying anymore when we hold her, so, and reaching for mama, so it's wonderful. But there we are. This is before we even get a picture, and none of them are even looking at the phone except me. And I am looking because my daughter will tell me, Mom, do not talk to them. You just look. We'll get them to look at the camera. So here we are. I just wanted you to see, and nothing is picked up. Everything is everywhere. And I just wanted to show you our home for one moment. So, and a lot of this goes on more than 99% of the time, it is this. And then what you see is probably 1%. But it's only God's grace, and I thank you for all the things you tell me, and you say, oh, your child or your son, your daughter, your husband, and you say things, thank you, and it's only God's grace. And that's what we are here to serve, because of God's grace that's been poured into us. Thank you. So this morning, the first thing I want to do before I even forget is I want to pray, because there's three distinct moms in my heart. And Amy did such a beautiful job this morning of bringing the hurting moms, the joyful moms, the lovely moms, the expectant moms, and all of them, because we are all part of the body of Christ. And today, my message is to all women. And it is. It is. We call it a mother, and it's someone that's nurturing, that's reaching out, that has someone the Lord has put in your hand that you are pouring your life into. But before I get there, there's three distinct women in my heart this morning. One who is, they just sent their 21-year-old to heaven this year, Micah, and it's Jan. And the other one is, her husband was killed this year in our town because he happened to have a car that had just been bought, and it's Kim. And then the other one is Liz, whose husband was killed a few years ago. They're very deep in my heart this morning. So I'm going to pray. And if you have people that right now, they're on your heart this morning because they don't want this day, they want this day to be over with. They don't want to even think about it. And I know it because I've talked to them. And I just want you to pray with me for them this morning. Father, we come to you. We pray this morning, Lord, for the ones that are saying, oh, let this day be over. It's just another day. Because your grace is so amazing this morning. You say, Lord, your mercies are new every morning, that you will pour your mercy into these lives. And everyone who's calling out a name right now that's in their heart, Lord, we pray for these people that your comfort will comfort them like no other this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so this morning, my message is going to be from the bookmark that you received as you entered the church, or I handed it to you. And it is from 2 Corinthians 4:1. And this is what it says. As pastona statank astudo. Oh, yeah. I need to read the other side for you. On that side that is in Armenian, I just wanted you to have that. And I asked my brother who made these because it's, I want the Armenian there too, because so many times I take it to Armenian congregations. But I wanted you to see Mount Ararat, which is in the land of Armenia, and the Turks have taken it, but it belongs to Armenia. And that's where Noah's Ark landed. So that's the picture of Mount Ararat on the Armenian side. But the other side, this is my message. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And it's 2 Corinthians 4:1. And this morning, my message is called, We Have a Ministry. Every one of us has a ministry. I don't care if you are the youngest, maybe 16 here, up to 90 years old, which Ruth is Ruth here this morning? She was going to be, but anyway, she's reaching 90, or she turned 90. I can't remember. Pepper, did she turn 90? In the end of August, she will be 90 years old. And she was telling me at 62 is when she went to Russia as a missionary. So it doesn't matter how old you are. The Lord has given you a ministry in your hand. And that is what I want to stir up today, to realize that you have a ministry. If you're touching lives. And really, when I was this year, when I was thinking about my daddy's birthday coming up in April, and I was saying, I wonder where Dad wants me to go. And Terry knows this. It was the end of February, close to March, that I started thinking about it. And his birthday was in April coming up. And I thought, where would he want to be? Lord, give me, where should I go this year? And then I thought about Lebanon. And I said, okay, I'll go to Lebanon. I will do ministry there. But at the same time, we have 100 and more orphans that my dad has taken care of through the years. And now some of them are reaching 55. The older ones are 55, 56, 57 years old. Because when he started the orphanage, I was only 12. And some of these kids were coming from Syria and Jordan. And we had 3 Palestinian girls. And we had many from Lebanon. And they were coming into our orphanage. And for my brothers, my younger brothers, 3 of them, it was an instant friends. They were all their age, and the minute you opened our door to our house, we all lived there, and the orphanage was right there. So it was like they always had their friends out there, and they would play. But I was more like an older sister to them. And so some of these kids have grown up, and when I go to Lebanon, in fact, one of them drives me around. And he's like a little brother to me, and I speak into his life, and I'm always encouraging him, because there is so much that they're walking through that we cannot be there anymore. I really feel like we did the work we were called to do, but now we are not there. But this year, I told him, Hagop, his name is Hagop, and I said, Hagop, which is Jacob, I said, can you get a few of them? And I knew if I asked for more than a few of them, it was going to be a lot more than I could even afford to pay for dinner. And I said, just get a few of them. And on Daddy's birthday, I want to have a dinner, not because we do the dinner thing, because, you know, in the Orthodox Church, they do dinners and food for the ones that have passed on. I said, no, I want to make sure it's not for that. It's just I want to have dinner with them and speak into their life again, because we're not there all the time. So he got 6 of them, and we ended up being 18 of us. And the 6 of them that were there made me realize they were looking at me like I am their mom. We were talking about things, and then they would just like, and I thought, how, wow, what an amazing thing that they still think of me. And 3 of them actually were older, and it was my aunt, Angela, who was their mom, and I talked to her yesterday. My aunt lives in California now. That's who became their mom at 23 years old, and my aunt at the time was not even married, and she had at the time 38 or 40 orphans that she became the mother to. So today, you might think, but I don't have any children of my own. Yes, you do. God has placed people in your life that are looking to you as their moms. And you are pouring into their life, you know it or not, whatever you have, you're pouring into their life. And that is a very important thing. And that was the three. And in fact, the three guys that came with their wives, and one had his 14-year-old son. The other one had his mother-in-law and his wife. His daughter couldn't be there. And the third one was with his wife, and he has three children, and they were in the army. And so they were telling me, when you see Auntie Angela, tell her we miss her, and tell her we love her, and tell her. And then the three other, the girls, were the ones that I had the privilege at 22 years old, when I went back to Lebanon to work in our orphanage, to become their mom. And one of them, Bernadette, who is one of our Palestinian girls, and she's grown up now, and she has a son in the army, and her daughter is 21. Her daughter told me, she said, do you know what my mom tells us all the time? And I said, no. She said, she tells us, if you don't make me happy, I'm going to go live with Hasmik. And it was just so funny. And I said, oh, I said, I would love to take you, Bernadette, but your life is here. But what was important to me is I talked to them. I said, yeah, Daddy Baba, who they called my dad, took care of you when you needed clothes and food. And some of them came from such dire situations that when we taught them to close their eyes to pray for the food, they would always keep one eye open because they thought someone was going to steal their food. I watched them, and it was like, they still think someone's going to take their food. And they would hold on to the plate, and as they were praying, and we were teaching them, you know, we thank the Lord. And some of them, even Bernadette, didn't know any English, didn't know any Armenian. All she spoke was Arabic because she was Palestinian. Now when she talks to me, funniest thing, she'll talk English, Armenian, Arabic, all mixed together. And if someone's listening to us, they have no idea what we're saying because we change back and forth. She knows all these mix of languages. And anyways, but the second person that I was going to bring to this meeting and tell you about was my great-grandmother, who happened to be during the massacre. She had just married a widower who had three children of his own and was a pastor. And then they had a little girl who became my grandmother. And during the massacre, she wasn't killed. And so I talk about all my orphans in my life, my great-grandparents that were killed because of the massacre that happened. She wasn't killed. Her daughter and her, they were put in the orphanage. And she became the mother of 2,000 orphans. And that was my great-grandmother. And her name was Sarah. And you know, my cousin and I, when we went back to Lebanon this year, we went to the house and we were taking pictures, and there were pictures all over the walls, and her picture is hanging there still. And so she became a mother of 2,000 that were not her own children. So that made me think of, you know, there are mothers here that have children physically, but then there are mothers who have children that were put into your life in different situations. I know of a grandmother in this congregation that is taking care of her granddaughter as if she's the mom. So many are in situations. So today, though, I want to talk about to every woman that you are sitting here and you're saying, who am I? What do people say? Who do people say I am? And I mean, we hear that all the time. You know, people say, oh, you look pretty today. And then next day I say, why are you not feeling good? Or they say things like, oh, I love you. And then the next day they're mad at you. And so people change constantly. So we're constantly thinking, who am I? Who am I? And so, but that is, it takes a lot of place in your heart and in your mind when people say things to you. But today I want to tell you, put that aside. Put aside who you think you are this morning. Just for the next 20 minutes, I want to tell you who you are, his view on you, who God says you are. And I'm going to go to one of the Psalms that is a beautiful Psalm, and it's Psalms 139. And so this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 139 from verses 1. We're going to start at verse 1, where from 1 to 5, and I, for time's sake, well, we can read them. It says, it's a chief musician, a Psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and I'm acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, and some of us have a lot of words, I included, that, Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. And so to take that and to say, alone, the Lord alone knows you. You alone, Lord, know me. The one that created you knows you the most. He knows you the most. He knows when you're sitting down, when you're rising up. He knows your path. He knows when you're lying down. There's not a word in your mouth that he doesn't know it altogether or already. And you protect me, Lord, from behind and before. And his hand is on you. That's what it says from Psalms, the first 5 verses. And then it goes to say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, and sometimes that, I believe, is situations that you find yourself in that you feel like, that's it. Behold, Lord, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I was talking to the 8th graders of our school a few days ago. Lisa is their teacher, and she had asked me, can you come and tell them just a little bit about being a missionary? And I started with the beginning. If you know me, I have to be detailed, and I have to, you know. And I was telling them, you know how the Lord said, go to the othermost parts of the world and preach the gospel. Or he says, go. And it says, if I go to the othermost parts of the sea. And I told them, I said, you know what? When I first came here 32 years ago, and my husband had built a house, to me, that was the end of the world. And they were like, where, you know, they're looking at me. And I said, you know where that was? I said, before Central got his name as Central, what was it? And they didn't know, but it's Grimmel Springs. It was in Grimmel Springs off of Hooper Road in the back of Bridalwood Estates and a dead end road. But many people went to Victory from there. So it was a blessing to have Gail and Lori and some of them as my neighbors, because I felt like I was in the end of the world. And I would tell my mom, Mom, I'm closing my shades during the day, because in the back of the house, all I could see was woods, and woods scared me. Yeah, I had a lot of fears. I am not a slave to fear anymore, but I have fears that rise up in my heart. And one of them was the woods, because I didn't know what was in those woods. And so that, even if you are there, even there, the hand of the Lord is on you. I don't know where your address is this morning. I don't know what street you live on this morning. I don't know where you are in your situation this morning. He sees you. He says he sees you. And then the best is here, where it says on the 17th verse, the 14th verse, he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, And Dory and I kid about that word because my dad, one of his favorite words. Marvelous. And marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So today you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a wonderful, marvelous work of the Lord, and that your soul needs to know that. Your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions need to know that. It's not just enough to say it. It's just not enough to say it, but you have to believe it. Because so many times we say things, we think we know things, but unless it's really in your heart and you know it, that's what the Lord wants you to know this morning. That you are wonderfully, fearfully made with His hands, and that your soul needs to say, thank you. I praise you, Lord, because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And my soul knows that well. My soul knows that well. And, one of the things that happened to me this year was, just a few weeks ago. And this is something that we need to do with our own choice, is what you are, what you're pouring into the life of the Lord, what He has given you, is who you are. So, you know, and the world is not kind. The world is not sweet. The world doesn't want to give you something that you don't deserve. Or even if you deserve it, they don't want to. And just a few weeks ago, I was in Germany for only 8 hours. I wasn't even going to spend the night there. But because I look that I am from the Middle East, you are treated differently by some people. Even though when I arrived now, I have an American passport for almost 30-some years. I have become an American citizen. Before I even met Terry, I was an American citizen. I want to make sure I say that. And we came legally. Yes. Because people will ask me, oh, how many years have you been married? Oh, yeah, when did you come to America? No, I didn't come for him. In fact, he came to Israel to find me, so. But anyway, so I have traveled with my dad since I was 5 years old with a Lebanese passport. And, you know, and many times because we had the Lebanese passport, we'd be taken aside, we'd be interrogated, we'd be asked questions a lot more than if you had an American passport. And so, I came and I was welcomed. I had an American passport and I said, yeah, I'm here for only 8 hours. There's a friend of mine and I want to eat lunch with her and then I'm going back to the airport. So he's like, oh, welcome. You know, you should stay longer. I said, I know. I love Germany, you know, and, maybe next time. So I took the train. I went, I had lunch with a friend who is 86 years old. And it's a blessing that I can still have lunch with her. And we talked and we had a good time together, Ingrid. And so I got back on the train. In fact, on the train, I fell asleep on my carry-on. I'm always holding onto my carry-on bags. And I fell asleep because I was gotten up. I had left Lebanon that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. We had to leave Beirut Airport. I was at the airport about 1:30 in the morning, so I hadn't really slept all those hours, but it was okay. So I was just taking a little nap, and I knew where I was supposed to get off, or I thought. And it said Frankfurt, Maine. No, it didn't say Maine. It said Frankfurt, and so station. And so because I was half asleep, I didn't even tell Terry this. I got my bags, I got out of the train. I went upstairs and I realized it was not the main station where I was supposed to change trains to go to the airport. So I ran back down. Well, I went to the information. That's what I did. I went to the information and I said, I need to get to the airport. He said, you need to get back down and get on a train to the main station. I was like, okay, I kind of knew. I ran down. Another train came and miraculously, I mean, by 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, I jumped in the train. And I got off at the main station. So I'm just telling you how tired I was, and I was very tired. I got to the airport. I had my boarding passes already, so I'm running to the gate. And I had time because their security takes so long. They bring in, I think every airline comes, feeds in. And I told somebody, I said, we're like sheep. You just follow each other and then you could just follow each other and you just, and I mean, like we were crowds going to security. So there was four lines of security and their bins come up automatically. So I took the bins out and I'm this lady that I happen to choose, because usually I'm looking around and I kind of like make my way to a sweeter, kinder face. She was like a general and she thought I was a little girl because she was big, tall, big. And she started shouting at me as I'm taking, I mean, I know what I'm doing. And she's shouting at me and making me take things out of the bin that I've already put. And she's saying, no, you cannot put that there. Put it here. Put it. She made me get like all these bins and separated everything. And I think she was just doing that because I look like I had come from some of the countries that they don't want in their country. That's all I could figure because the way she was treating me. So she's screaming, I'm putting in, and I'm listening to her because at that point I'm just doing what she's telling me to do. And I'm thinking, why is she doing that to me? So I was like, it's okay. You know, you're tired. She probably sounds loud, but she was loud. And she was like, no, put it there. Put it there. No, take it out. Take it out. And I was getting embarrassed. Like all these people were standing waiting on me to spread out my stuff. You know, my boots, my hat had to go. My scarf had to go, my jacket. So anyways, then I do something, and my family knows this. They go. They leave me behind. I want to wait till my bins go through the machine before I go through the machine. Because now she had spread it out, and I wanted. So I stood there. And she said, shush, 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 like that to me. Like I'm a little cat or a dog. I don't know the sound you use for them, like, shh, 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 you know. And I said, I want to wait. If she thinks she's loud, I'm louder. And I said, I want to wait till my, she said, just, like that to me. Didn't even listen to what I was saying. So then I thought, she might make me sit aside and I might miss my flight. So I said, I better do what she's saying. And I was so upset. So I go through the security. Thank the Lord. Nothing beeped. All my bins came. After I got my stuff, I saw two officers, a lady and a man. I went to them and I said, are you the manager? And he said, no. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you anyways. Because he was like, he didn't want to hear anything. And I said, you see that lady over there? I said, she was very rude. And she said, he said, well, you are not obeying directions. He had no idea where, which line, whatever. But he said that to me. And I said, no, I was. I obeyed her directions. And he said, well, kindness is a choice. And at that point, I thought I should have said, and rudeness is not. And so, but I didn't. And I was like, wow. I picked up my stuff and I said, well, Lord, maybe you just want me to feel what people feel sometimes when we ignore them or when we are mean to them, just because we don't like maybe what they look like. I did tell him, that man and the woman, I said, I'm here only 8 hours in your country. I said, this was not a nice way to treat me. I'm not even staying here. I'm not eating your food. I'm not living here, taking your jobs. I'm not here asking for your money. But I said that was not. And I walked away and I thought, you could have said so many other things, but it didn't come to mind. It comes to mind later, but the Lord knows our thoughts. But, you know, I just want to say kindness or loving someone or hugging someone or encouraging someone. What God has given us to do in this life is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And he did get angry sometimes, but he didn't sin. He didn't go the extra of, you know, I'm angry at you and I can bring fire down right now and burn your whole city. He told his disciples, you don't know. That doesn't come from the Father. That comes from the Father of lies, the anger, the hatred, the burning down and whatever. But so I just wanted to tell you that we have a ministry. And it says, the second verse, that I asked my brother to print was from 2 Corinthians. And I told Wally this morning, Wally, I said, I'm not going to fuss at you. Even because I jump around with all the verses. But I said, I might just bring out whatever is the Lord wants me to have. And this was the first one. We have a ministry. And then the second verse was 2 Corinthians 4:7. And it says, but we have this treasure, and that is Jesus Christ in our hearts with the love that is poured in us, the resurrection, Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So when you think, no, I can't do this. Yeah, you can't. You can do it only through Christ who strengthens you. Because you yourself cannot. There's moments where you yourself cannot love. You yourself cannot forgive. You yourself cannot do it one more time. But it's the excellent treasure that is in you. And so the Lord today wants you to know who you are in Him and who He is in you. And He is the treasure that is in you. And because of Him, you can do it. When you come to Him and say, Lord, I can't do it. He's not going to say, I know, but you can do it. No, He says, I know, but I in you, you can do it. You can do it. And so many times I do go to Him and I say, I can't do that. And He says, I know, but I in you, you can do it. And that's the treasure we have. So those bookmarks are for you to put in your Bible and to remember the ministry we have from God because He gives us His mercy every morning. You can't say, well, I'm getting old now and the mercy He gave me 10 years ago is almost finished. He said, my mercies are new every morning. And I love this because Jeremiah must have been one that cried a lot. And I can relate with that. I'm a crier and some of you might not be and you might, you know, but I crying is like therapy. There's moments where I cry and I don't care where I am. Sometimes on the airplane now lately, I have been crying because I remember my daddy and traveling with him. And I just cry and people probably think, oh, she's having a moment over there, you know, whatever. You know, and Terry knows I cry, but not for unimportant things, of course. My mom used to say when we were little, she would say, keep those tears for important things. And I didn't know what that meant until I grew up. And now there's many, many important things we cry about. But it says in Lamentations where Jeremiah must have been a crying prophet. All I can figure, because he has a whole book called Lamentations. He just cried and cried and cried and cried. And that's what Lamentations means, you know, mourning and crying. And so, and in Lamentations, from verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Finally, in the middle of the book, he comes to his senses. He's crying and crying, and then he says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. And I love this. They are new every morning. Every morning when you get up, His mercies are new. Just like you open up a new perfume that you can relate. A new coffee can. A new something that's fresh and new in the morning. Imagine how powerful and new His mercies are for you that morning. You went to bed with a heavy heart. You get up in the morning and His mercies are new that morning. And it says, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. And this is what Jeremiah is saying, but we can say that together. Let's read that together. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And then this one is beautiful. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And it is hard to wait quietly. You've been waiting for some things that you thought would happen in a week or a month or a year. And some of you are still waiting, still waiting, still waiting. He is faithful. It never changes. His faithfulness doesn't change because the world is changing, culture is changing, things are changing. His faithfulness never changes. It's coming, but his timing is not ours. His time, he's outside of time. We're the ones that look at time and I don't see a clock anywhere. My son is not telling me if I need to finish up, but I probably need to. And, I thank the Lord for Benjamin and Jennifer making me a mother and, you know, standing here this morning, having this privilege to speak into your lives and to say, God says you are wonderfully and fearfully made. You have a ministry. You can't do it on your own. I can help you with it. And he says, my faithfulness and mercy is new every morning. So, excuse me. So, okay, before we go, I want every woman in this place to stand up. And I want to pray a prayer that is my favorite, one of my favorite verses, and it's in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. So, let's pray. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good will, work to do his will according to his plan that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone that's standing up today. If they don't know you personally, Lord, make yourself known to them personally, Lord, this morning of who you are, how you've made them wonderfully and fearfully, how you've poured things into them that they need for their life, Lord. But you are the source of everything we need. So every morning, Lord, let us remember you're the one that pours the mercy into our hearts so that we can pour mercy into the ones you've given in our hands, the ones that you put around us, the ones we're influencing, the ones we're taking care of, the ones we are guiding, the ones we are teaching. Every woman in this place, every person in this place, Lord, you've placed them in the place of influence and you've given them a ministry from you, Lord. Let us find out what that is. Let us find out how we can obtain your mercy every morning, Lord, to ask for it. And you give it freely to us. And so, Lord, this morning I ask that you will bless every woman in this place that you have made. And you will pour your love into their hearts so that we can go out of this place, pour your love into people, Lord. Love the unlovely. Love the ones that we don't want to love or the ones that we don't get pulled towards, Lord. But you pull us with your love and let us forgive. Let us do it over and over and over, just like you loved us, Lord, and gave your life for us. How much more? He said, how much more does the Heavenly Father take care of you, O little one, than he does all the things in this world, the birds, the stars, the sand of the sea. Your thoughts are more than that, Lord. So we thank you this morning. We bless you today, Lord, and we praise you because we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Amen.